I was putting this word together, and I was the story of feeding the 5,000 is in all four Gospels. And so I looked them all up, and I've got them wrote down so I can tell you where they're at. They're in Mark 12, Luke 21. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Sorry. Mark 14, Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, and then this, where I'm going to read from, is John 6. And it's John's version is just has a little tiny difference to it. And sometimes what I find is that details that are, like when you have a story in the gospel, and each gospel has a story, there usually be one gospel that has a little detail that the other gospel writers didn't put in. And it's because, I think, because of their relationship that they had with Jesus, their personal relationship, and their personal personalities, because we all have those. And it's like with me, I see weird things sometimes in the gospel. I have weird thoughts and all. But this is from John in the 6th chapter. Well, I won't read the whole thing. It's the same thing that is Jesus traveling. And then it says in the 5th verse, says, therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? Now, this is an interesting little tidbit here. I'm not going to go into it too much, but it's just one of those little details that you got to go, with. Because it says, this he, Jesus, was saying to test him, Philip. For he himself knew what he was intending to do. So see, this whole situation wasn't just all of a sudden. It was a divinely planned opportunity for God to be glorified all the way through, even to the point of that one of the apostles had to learn something. It says very specifically, it was testing Philip here. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii, which was about the equivalent of a day's wage worth of bread, is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, you just got to love Andrew. Really. And I think about this. Put yourself in Andrew's place. Here you are. You got like 5,000 men, women, and children, which can explode that population to 10,000, 15,000 people. Pretty easily. Here they all are, and you've got a crisis that's happening in front of you. And so he comes up with this brilliant thing. Do you ever do this? Are you kind of like this, that you just come up with stuff and then you realize, boy, that was pretty stupid, now that I think about it? There is a lad here. Well, first off, children were, they were loved, but there wasn't a whole lot of stock put in them. They were children. They were supposed to be children. They were supposed to do children things. In Jesus' time, they weren't like us, that we tried to make 8-year-olds 18-year-olds and 18-year-olds 30-year-olds. They just let them be kids. And so, like, kids were like pretty much kids. They just ran around and did kid things. So no one was ever looking for a kid for answers. Okay? But here's Andrew, the brother of Peter. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many? I mean, can you imagine? This is the best that you can come up with. 5 little bitty, and we sometimes think of these loaves as being big loaves like a bread. They're not. They're just little bitty small cakes kind of things that they did. This was a lad, a young kid, carrying them around. So he wasn't carrying like 5 loaves of bread in a Walmart bag, right? And the fish were always, they were little. They were just little bitty small fish. They weren't like, they weren't like 100-pound grouper, They were just these little bitty fish that they caught and that they used. So that was Andrew's solution. And then as soon as he said, he goes, well, that was pretty stupid. What is that amongst those? And of course, we know the story. Jesus takes that and blesses and keeps handing it out to them, and they feed all these people and all. So just remember that story. And then kind of where I started this whole thing was in Kings, 1 Kings. Bishop's been teaching out of this about Elijah and all the things Elijah's going to. And The other day when he was teaching, I was really struck by this phrase. This is the story of Elijah going to the widow and the son and to stay with them. And the widow has almost nothing. And, of course, Elijah stays and she feeds Elijah, herself, and her son for a long period of time. But here's a thing that I was struck with to apply to my own life. In the 12th verse, 17th chapter, it says, as Elijah, well, in 11, she's going to get him some water, and he called her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." You know, Elijah wasn't really wanting much, just a piece of bread in her hand. Again, he wasn't asking for a loaf of bread, just something small. But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread. Only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks." Literally, a few sticks means two sticks. She didn't have much, so she didn't need a big fire. She's getting two sticks to make a little fire, to make a little piece of bread. And prepare for me and my sons that we may eat it and die. This thing started was a post by Heidi Baker about this very subject of this little bit of oil. It's this little bit of oil. And all through Scripture, and I'm not going to read it because of time restraints, but we find the same thing played out in different ways. Here you see it played out here this way. In the Gospels, you saw it played out with the fish. And in Mark and Luke, you see it played out in the widow's mite. It's always the same thing. A total insufficient amount. A little, meaning nothing. When I was looking at the widow's mite, of course, we know Jesus said, like she put in more than all the other people. And it's all, when you're reading that, I'd never really noticed it, but it says that Jesus was watching the wealthy put in large sums. That's putting a lot. And he saw this widow come and put in these two small bronze coins. And I looked up about these bronze coins, and it's like, why did you even bother putting those in? Because they amounted to nothing. What they were worth was 6 minutes out of a day's wage. 6 minutes. If you'd worked 6 minutes and demanded pay, that's what you would get. In our day, that would be approximately a penny. And if just a penny from the two of them. That's what you gave. But in every one of these instances, what the Lord is trying to teach us and show us is that it's not the stuff, it's Him. Like the oil was not sufficient. It was just this tiny bit of oil. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish was totally, completely insufficient. The widow's mite was such a nothing. There's literally almost nothing you could probably buy with just those 2 coins. They were so low. It's like now, what can you buy for a penny? Used to, when I was a kid, you could buy a piece of gum. Well, not no more. So this is what, and these are the things that God is looking for out of your life and my life. See, this is where it hit me, is because I've been, since having had the heart attack and another stint, I've been in this thing about, who am I, what am I, purposes, It's like I told a friend that's asked me how he's doing. I said, I got good days, I got bad days. Bad days, I'm wondering, what is my lot in life? Am I going to sit on the front porch and drool? And people tell me when to go in and come out, when to go to the bathroom, when not to go to the bathroom. Is that it? We all have moments in our lives where we feel the littleness of what we have. And that is the most precious moment for God. Because it's in that moment that He can come in and do something extraordinary, completely extraordinary and wonderful. It doesn't go into a lot of detail with this woman and the oil, but I kind of think, just in my own imagination, that every day she'd get pour out of this little bowl, she'd pour this flour out, and there'd be just enough when she emptied that bowl to make a bread to feed three people. And when she poured the oil to do that, the jar would be empty, but it was just enough oil. And it would happen every day. I should have looked up the period of time, but for a long period of time. And it's always that way with God. It's not how much you have or what you have. It's how much He has. And He's always pouring out. He's always looking for the opportunity to pour out. When He finds a vessel that is completely empty. See, that's one of the things that a person told me one time that made a little bit of sense, but not too much sense, was that the Lord needs a vessel to pour into so that he can overflow. And I thought about that, and I said, well, what if my vessel's got too much of me in it? You know, like He's not going to mix that up, surely. And no, He doesn't. He empties us first. He empties us of ourself. You know, He empties us of all. Sometimes He brings us to this ending of who we are, what we have, what we don't have. We totally have to be broken and humbled and come to Him, relying completely on His mercy, completely on His grace, an empty vessel that He can pour Himself into and then provide the sufficiency for whatever the situation is. And so the Lord really spoke to me through that verse about the oil, because I was going, well, Lord, you know, like I've had two heart attacks, I got two stents, I'm old. What am I going to do? Am I done? And He said, well, you still got a little oil. You need a little oil. I ain't got a lot of oil. You know, and that's what gets us in trouble is when we think we got a lot of oil, you know, because then He has to reduce us back to just a little oil. But that little is more than sufficient, you know. Just, and we never know when he's working in that sufficiency to do marvelous and miraculous things that touches other lives and causes transformation in other lives and everything. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.